It's good to see all of you today, especially good to see some of the visitors we have. For those of you at home, I hope that you're able to join us soon. I know that everyone is still taking precautions, and if you feel you need to do so, please do that. But I want to let you guys know that if you're at home, we have finally figured out a way for you to see the slides and view the video, which will be coming, I know it's not today, but it will be coming soon. We need a little bit of equipment first, so we're going to work that out. But I hope all of you are doing well. Please continue to keep the Crawley family in your prayers. Please continue to keep Miss Kay in your prayers. Miss Kay, I see that you're watching today, so that's very, very good. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you do for us, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice of giving Jesus on the crosses. Our country looks to memorialize the people who gave up their lives. I hope that many people see this as an opportunity to recognize your sacrifice as well. Thank you for the many blessings we have through you. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. So, today we're going to talk about this word called preeminence. This word, I think, is only used like less than five times in all the Bible. And so before we start, I'm going to give you guys this definition of what preeminence means, and that means superior, or essentially the best. Now, Paul is coming into this section after we talked about last week on the idea that you need to grow as a Christian spiritually. Growth is not stagnant. Like he says in 1 Corinthians, when he was a child, he thought like a child, but as he grew, he put away those childish things and started to think like he was expected to think. And so that's kind of how he wants Christians to grow. They don't expect you to constantly be feeding on the most basic parts of Christianity. You need to continue to grow in your faith and your patience and your steadfastness. He's going to actually repeat this point in this coming section. And so when I talked about this, I said that there are certain ways that Paul is kind of showing us how we should grow. We should grow by having a vision. We should grow by fixating on the Father, by understanding our wisdom is our inheritance, that our understanding is deliverance, redemption, and forgiveness of sins, and that we should all strive to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So all that is coming into this idea that we now have a superior or preeminent Christ. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about one of my favorite foods, macaroni and cheese. You guys can obviously tell I like macaroni and cheese, right? But I want to, you might think, okay, what does macaroni and cheese have to do with the superiority of Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked, which I'm sure you probably did, but I'm going to pretend you did. You know, I like macaroni and cheese, but there's only basically two kinds of macaroni and cheese I like, and that is either Kraft or Velveeta. Any other kind of macaroni and cheese, unless it's homemade, I would say I like homemade too, is garbage. It tastes awful. You go to Walmart, buy the Great Value brand. It is terrible. And every other thing can be said about every single off-brand of macaroni and cheese. But if you go and you buy Kraft, or you go and buy Velveeta, you're actually spending more. And why are you spending more? Because it's better. So if you like macaroni and cheese, don't buy the garbage brand. Spend a little bit of extra money to get a better quality, because the better quality is worth it. Because in life, like macaroni and cheese, there are many options, but some things are just better. And I know we can all agree on this list. Granted, this is an opinion, but every single one of you in this room should agree with me on this list. Coke is better than Pepsi. Sweet tea is better than unsweet tea. Kleenex is better than facial tissue. And sugar in grits is much better than salt in grits. My wife says no. You all think my wife is wrong, right, on this issue? No, okay. So, joking aside, yes, there are things in life that we all believe are much better, and we believe them to be better in some form or another. Mostly it has to do with preference. But when we understand when it comes to what Scripture has to teach us, or what God and Jesus have to teach us, there is a superior way. So by contrast, let's look at the inferior. The first part is, well, the Jews had the inferior. They had something, and it was not something that was ever going to help them, and that was essentially the law. And what Paul, we know that the law just brought knowledge of sin. But the law did help them. It provided rules for them on how they should live and regulations on what they should do. It gave them a way to worship and communicate with God. But we also know that with the law brings knowledge of sin, and that you cannot be justified by the law. We talked about this a few months ago when we did our lessons in Galatians, where it says anyone who relies on the works of the law is cursed. No one is justified under the law. The law is not faith. You cannot be saved by the law. Did it help the Jews? It didn't save them, but did it help them? It gave them something. At least they had something. By contrast, the Gentiles, I called this, the Gentiles have the inferior also, but they don't even have the inferior. They had nothing. And so because they had nothing, they had no way to go to God. They weren't even set apart, and by contrast to having nothing, well, that nothing led to sin and death and decay. Or as Paul, and that made them a slave, as Paul argues in the book of Romans. So by going into all of that, Paul is going to say, because we know this is going to be one of his major themes in the book of Colossians, that there is an inferior way, but there's also a superior way. And this is the superior way. And it is the preeminence of Christ. And this is all what he says in verse 18. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, or he might be superior. So Paul's going to tell us exactly why he's superior, and he's going to do this in basically five different ways. And first, he's going to say Christ is superior because he is the very image of God. 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So what do we know about Christ's relationship to God? Well, we know that Christ was in the beginning with God. If we look at it as concerned to the Trinity or the Godhead, he is one part of God. And so we know that Christ comes directly from God, or in his being exists in God's being. And as we go to Christ, we get to essentially see God. Yeah. You look at the imagery 2,000 years ago when Christ exists, when Paul was probably writing this letter. He was probably thinking of the Roman coin. Where did Caesar live? Well, Caesar lived in Rome, right? But everyone got an opportunity to see Caesar's image through the Roman coin. Everybody dealt in currency. So in this way, this is Paul kind of getting this imagery of this is how we know and understand God, by the imagery, the image we see in Christ. He is like him both in majesty and appearance. Not because he was necessarily born from God, but because he is like God. He has all the rights that a firstborn son in that culture would have. So that is one of the reasons Paul says Christ is superior. The second reason he says that Christ is superior is that everything was essentially made for him and by him. In verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and by him. So we see that Christ essentially existed before the creation of the earth, and as such, he is now an agent to that creation. So everything that we have, or are, or could be, is to essentially glorify God. Even if we're not in Christ, you're still part of his creation. That means that you are essentially belonging to him. Now, I remember one time I made something. I can't remember what I made. And my friend's like, oh, that's pretty cool. Can I try that out? And I gave it to him, and he messed with it for a little bit. And he's like, well, I can't figure this out. And I go, well, no, because I made it. How would you know what to do with it? And so that's kind of like why Christ is superior here, is God, we have, we're kind of stewards to his creation, but by being stewards of his creation, we really don't understand it the way he does. Which is why we can never be as great as he is, because we understand that our knowledge is only limited. He is the one that has to be the caretaker, because everything was made for him and by him. So Paul's going to talk about that for a little bit. And then he's going to say the third reason that Christ is superior is because he is essentially the glue that holds us all together. Did you guys ever watch that show, Gilligan's Island? I've seen like three episodes. And one episode I remember is they somehow found this adhesive that would stick wood together to repair their boat. And later on, that they as the episode went on, they realized that that wasn't going to work. And eventually, if they stuck with that, the boat would might go out for a little bit, but it would essentially sink. It's kind of like the analogy of using school glue versus super glue. There's one that's okay, and for a little bit, it might do what you need for a little bit, but the other one is going to hold a lot longer. And that's essentially why Christ is superior, is because we know what Christ does is what's going to stick, because Christ is essentially what stops death and decay, or as the writer of Hebrews says, without Christ, chaos reigns. You guys ever feel like that your lives, when you're in a bad point in your life and you seem like Christ is no longer with you, how would you say your life is? You think your life is going great? No. We find that even in bad points, we are continuing to look for Christ in everything that we do, so we know that we are continually on the right path. So he says, this is the glue that holds you all together. The fourth one, we got five, so we're getting there. He says, Christ is the head of the body and the church, so we see that Christ is essentially superior, and as such, he offers superior leadership. This is just a reiteration of the other one we just talked about, as he is our creator, he's the sustainer, he's the one that holds us together. This analogy is used all over the New Testament. Paul uses it in Ephesians, he uses it in Corinthians, that Christ is the head of the church, and we are the body, and while you might be able to separate us from the body, you're not going to be able to separate Christ from us. So we essentially cannot live, we cannot function without the head, or for Christ being the head of the church. You can put someone else up there, and maybe that will help you for a little bit, but it's never going to get you where you need to be in the long run. And finally, he says, and this is probably, my opinion, the most important thing, is that one of the reasons that Christ is superior is because with him, we have fullness and reconciliation. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, make peace by the blood of the cross. What was the biggest problem with the Old Testament law? The biggest problem is you could not go to God. Now, you might be able to reconcile yourself to your brother or your sister or your mother or your friend, but there's only one thing that can reconcile you to God. And that is Christ. And that is why he's superior, is because there's nothing else that can fit that slot. There's nothing else that can bring you to God. Gentiles didn't have it. The Jews didn't have it. Only those who follow Christ get to be reconciled to God. Now, I want you to understand that nobody can make you choose anything you don't want to. That's the great thing about this, is every single person in the world has a choice. If you like that cheap, gross macaroni and cheese, you can eat that cheap, gross macaroni and cheese. If you like Pepsi, you can drink Pepsi. If you like sugar or salt in your grits, you can do it. Well, assuming you have the money to do it. If you like the inferior, if you like the Old Testament law, if you don't care at all, you can choose that. And that is your right. But Paul is going to be clear here. There are consequences for choosing the inferior. And he says that you're going to be alienated. Not alienated necessarily from each other, but alienated from God. And that's going to lead to a hostile mind or evil deeds. You will be unsanctified and blameful, and you certainly will not receive reconciliation. Those are the consequences of choosing the inferior way and not the preeminence of Christ. But if you do choose the inferior, he's also going to say, this is what happens if you choose the inferior. And it doesn't matter who you are. He uses this in relation to him being a minister, but this applies essentially to all Christians, that you are able to continue to move forward in your faith, to stand firm, to steadfast, to rejoice in your sufferings, have stewardship in his creation, and understand the wisdom that is hid throughout the ages. Are you going to struggle with this? Probably, because these are things that come with struggle, which is why he spent the first half of the chapter telling you to grow in your faith, so you would better understand what these things mean. But now, as a Christian, as one who progresses in your faith, this is where you should be moving. And so, you can choose whatever you want, and you're probably going to choose what you want for various different reasons. A lot of people choose inferior because it's cheaper or easier, but Jesus, when he talked about the path, the gate, he said, wide is the path, and many people choose the path. Why do they choose the wide path? Because it's easy. But is that going to help them? No. So a little bit of hard work is where you need to go. Putting the extra time and effort and doing what God wants you to be is going to put you on the right path. So the question I have to you all today is, why choose the inferior when you could choose the superior? Why choose the inferior when you could choose the preeminence of Christ? And if that's something you would like, if there's something you're struggling with, we invite you to come as we can help you as we stand and sing this song.